Morning, Stephen.
Morning. How are you doing?
We're all right. What can you say, right?
Yeah, well, we've been saying a lot, you know, and I'm not sure we've been saying anything, but we've been saying a lot the last few days, so it's been that kind of week, hasn't it? I don't know about you, how things were, what you guys did format-wise when the news came down the other day, but, you know, I was walking into the building here, you know, I usually go on at 10 o'clock Eastern time with Jeff Blair, but I was walking at about 8:45, and I got the news on my phone, and then somebody said, "Hey, can you come on at 9? We're gonna do some stuff about Gord," and we broke format and did, you know, all Gord for 3 hours. So yeah. that's a lot of talking, you know. And again, I'm not sure any of it can fully explain the, you know, what he and what the band and, you know, the country and all of those things that kind of come together in that conversation. But it was, you know, I guess it was a little cathartic at the, you know, at least it gave people a chance to kind of deal with the news that day.
Do you have any story, anecdote, meeting, interaction that you can share? Because I know you have a love of music, obviously, and it doesn't get much more patriotic and down home than the hip.
I knew Gord a little bit, you know, mostly because we had him out to Woody Point to the festival in 2014, and you know, something that I'd been trying to kind of lure him out there for a few years before that, and one of the people who manages the band's a real good friend of mine, so we had been talking about it and trying to find a way to get Gord out, it's funny, Jim Cuddy was on with us. He was telling us there's a great story that the year before he had been out, the hip played a thing called the Salmon Festival in Grand Falls, Newfoundland, which is kind of a goofy name, but it's a huge outdoor music festival. It's like 30,000 people come to this thing, and that year the hip and Blue Rodeo were both on the bill, but they were billed below the Eagles. You know, the Eagles were the headliners. And actually, right below the Eagles was this band. What's that called now? Jim Dolan, the slightly wacky guy.
Right.
He has that vanity band of
that's
his,
right,
like,
yes.
JR and the House Rockers. Is that them? JR and the Straight Shot, right? So the Eagles are like the worst people on earth to start with, right? That's just true. And part of their deal on this is in return for being able to use one or both of Dolan's private planes on the tour, they put him on the bill, and he was like a head of the hip. And so the Eagles' biggest concern that night was how quickly they could get out of Grand Falls, Newfoundland. So they were kind of watching as the show played out, and they have their legendary managers, this guy named Irving Azoff. So the hip are on stage, you know, Jim Dolan's terrible band is still to come, and then the Eagles. And so they're starting to get concerned about how long this show is going on. So Azoff is just off stage, and he's giving the hip and giving Gord the universal sign for cut your set short and get the hell off the stage. And Gord, with that, you know, the great enigmatic Gord grin, you know, the I've got a secret grin, they just kept playing. They just kept playing, and the more this guy gesticulated and, you know, kind of waved at them and said get off the stage, the more they played. And I love that story so much. So that year, yeah, so that was the year before Gord came out, and then he came out to Woody Point. We talked about it, and he and his wife, you know, his ex-wife in the end, but had honeymooned in Newfoundland something 22 years before. So they decided to come out and bring all their kids and make it kind of a different kind of trip. So the whole crowd of them came out in a van, and there's a guy named Billy Ray, who any hip fan knows about Billy Ray. He's the guy with the cowboy hat who's like Gord's. He was a super fan originally, and Gord just sort of hired him eventually, and he became Gord's kind of assistant and guitar tech and all of that stuff. So Billy Ray and his girlfriend came out. So we had 8 or 10 people. We got him a great big huge house up on the hill, and they hung around for, you know, in this little tiny town in Newfoundland for the better part of 10 days, I think, in the end. And, you know, Gord is, you know, he was wearing a white Stetson at that point a lot. And so he would walk up and down the main drag in this town, and you couldn't miss him. But I remember saying to my wife, you know, it was one of the great moments of my life, our little house out there. I remember looking out the window and I said, I think, you know, Gord Downie's walking up the driveway with a bottle of scotch in his hand. I said, I think this is the peak moment of my life. You know, I think this is as good as it's ever going to get.
Right.
So there's, it was a beautiful time. And, you know, there's some video. If you go on YouTube, you can find, you know, it's all kind of bad homemade video, but there's a lot of stuff of Gord in Woody Point. And there's some beautiful stills of him playing outdoors. We did an outdoor performance. He played Bob Cajun outside and in the one of the most beautiful places in the world. And he just, it was, you know, it was simple and kind of perfect. So he's, you know, Gord was a complicated guy. He, you know, he was a rock star. He, you know, he was kind of a, I don't know if you've guys have seen the documentary about the last tour. It's, I know it's running tonight on CTV. I know a lot of people will watch it, but, you know, his relationship with the band is interesting, right? Cause the band were kind of a unit unto themselves. And they talk about it in the doc, I think, where they say, you know, we kind of reacted to each other on the stage. We played with each other on the stage, and Gord's relationship was with the audience.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, obviously watching that last tour played out, we all gathered together in Newfoundland. I was out there cause we had the festival that week, and, you know, we were like everybody else in Canada, right? We got together and watched the last show. And it's been, you know, watching him kind of kick out the jams the last year and a half, get stuff done, turn it up loud. It's, I think for a lot of people of my, you know, kind of in the you know, broadly defined my generation, you know, this is not, it's not about music. It's about mortality, right? It's about a bunch of us kind of watching a guy deal with something that, you know, one way or another, we will all deal with, even if we pretend, you know, that we're still kids. And, you know, you look ahead at the horizon, and you think, okay, how am I going to deal with this? And you're watching one of your own, you know, and how he chose to deal with it in the last year. And, you know, it was about getting stuff done and not compromising. I hate that idea of fighting diseases and people, you know, because you know what? You don't really have a choice. You know, you just draw a bad straw, right? And it's not, no one is more or less valiant in how they deal with a disease, because that's, I just hate that idea that, you know, you got to fight. Well,
lost the battle.
Yeah, that whole
lost thing, right? His battle. The, yeah, I hate it too.
Yeah, it's the wrong language to use, right?
Yeah.
But you know, how you choose to use the time. So it's not about the battle. It's about how you use the time and what, you know. And he chose to, you know, they had the tour, which was, you know, among other things, a way to kind of financially look after the guys in the band, you know, and look after his family, because you know, the tragically hip business kind of ends right there.
Sure.
And you know, and also obviously the First Nation stuff, you know, the Secret Path, and choosing to lend his voice to that. You know, the one of the great things about Gord's Canadianness, I think, is that, you know, he wasn't kind of, it wasn't like a chest beating, I am Canadian, you know, hear me roar. That's not the, you know, when you talk about him being a Canadian band and people feel patriotic when they hear the hip, you know, he acknowledged the flaws and poked at them and said, come on, we, you know, that's, you know, and that's maybe the most patriotic thing of all, right? To say, look, this is, you know, I'm a Canadian and we got some stuff wrong. I love the fact that that form of patriotism is what, you know, Canadians embrace rather than maybe the kind of triumphal stuff we see coming from other places.
Well said. No way to transition, but we will, to baseball. We are set on one side for the World Series, and for the first time since, what, 88, the Dodgers are going, and, I mean, I'm a Yankee guy, so I, of course, want them there, but what a tale that would be if you would have these two legendary franchises in a World Series.
Yeah, not exactly the kind of what I would have anticipated a month ago, but like certainly the Dodgers getting in, right? They looked at their best team, aside from that weird kind of depression they hit, you know, for about 3 weeks this season, which, you know, otherwise they were the dominant team in baseball all year long. They're incredibly good, and it's no fluke. Like, watching them in these playoffs, the depth of that roster, you know, the flexibility that they have, you know, they can, the kind of platoon advantages they have. They have guys who can play every position and guys who hit from both sides, and they've got a crazy deep bullpen, and they're, adding Darvish to that rotation, it's a great rotation. You know, Kershaw is obviously getting over the postseason yips this year, and it's a great baseball team. It really is, and I would be shocked if they don't beat whoever at this stage, if they don't beat whoever comes out of the American League. But, you know, again, I thought it was going to be them and them versus Houston or them versus Cleveland, and obviously Cleveland's long gone, and Houston can't hit suddenly, and the Yankees, I did not anticipate CC Sabathia turning the clock back 15 years, and I did not anticipate what they've got out of Tanaka. So we'll see what Verlander, you know, Verlander's going to have to be great again just to keep Houston in the series. And then, you know, somebody other than Keuchel or Verlander is going to have to win a game at the end if they get it to game seven. But boy, yeah, the Yankees, great story. The youth in that lineup, you know, Girardi was within a hair of being fired in the Cleveland series, and look where they are now. So a lot of people, you know, again, people tend to either love or hate these two teams. But I think you can kind of embrace that as a World Series matchup, no matter how you feel.
I would think probably Major League Baseball more than anybody else. You know, it's interesting too to watch the Dodgers do it. There will be some fans who will say, "Well, yeah, you've got the payroll, you had the record, and all of that." The best team doesn't always, or the team favorite doesn't always get there. There is some credit to be given to the Dodgers, like you say, for, you know, the speed wobble, and they still finish with an incredible record. But to be the house favorite and get to the World Series and not fall short, I mean, credit to them.
Yeah, it's a long haul, right? You know, and you have to be really good through 162 before you even get a chance to get into the playoffs, and you know, then you're into the kind of unpredictability of short series, and yeah, they knocked off that Diamondbacks team, gave them trouble all year. Now, Diamondbacks, you know, almost had to kill themselves to win that wild card game, so that kind of messed up their pitching. But you know, they had to beat a team that they had real trouble with all year, and you know, and then went in against the World Series champions and dominated them. Really, you know, just kind of spanked them. So. Money's good, right? And in a sport with no salary cap, money's good. But if you look at the way, you know, again, you can look at any of the teams in the postseason right now and how they're constructed. It's not, you know, it's not about just going out and buying a bunch of players, because if you do that in baseball, you know, you tend to get a bunch of guys in their 30s. You tend to be old, and baseball right now is young. You know, it's speedy, it's athletic. And guys throwing 100 mile an hour pitches, right? That's kind of where baseball's at right now. And these teams are not, you know, just the product of big, crazy money. You know, again, look at the Yankees. Everybody talks to the Yankees, have money, money, money. But, you know, the core of that team are guys that they either drafted and developed, or prospects that they traded for as prospects, you know, when dumping other contracts. So, you know, you have to run a good organization, no matter how rich you are, and you have to, yeah, you can augment it with guys like Darvish, where you can pick them up at the deadline. But, you know, I think that if you look at that Dodgers lineup, that's a real kind of tribute to the smarts of that organization that Andrew Friedman's put together out there.
A quick jump to CFL. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are here tonight to play.
Baby.
Yeah.
You still me on the bet.
Got any inside knowledge, any scoop on what happened with the Riders in Regina this week, scrapping each other, Daron Carter playing on the defense? What's going on?
I just read Mr. Madani's stuff. He does stir the pot, Arash, doesn't he?
Yeah.
For a guy that's, you know, busily covering baseball playoffs, he still seems to have a lot of people who talk to him in the CFL.
Yeah.
So, he's not that popular in Saskatchewan right now, I don't think. It's a heck of a story. Like, the one thing, you know, what's the consistent thing here? That wherever Daron Carter goes, stuff happens, right?
Yeah, turmoil follows.
Yeah, like, do you remember a player in that league who has been, you know, well, again, he's extremely talented, and I think if his head was screwed on right, he would be playing in the NFL. There's no question. He's got NFL talent, and he's got an NFL physique. So the reason he's not playing in the NFL is because he's got issues. The CFL's benefited from that over the years many times. You know, guys who can't fit in down there, can't deal with the discipline, can't deal with the time commitment, we get them, and sometimes they're great players in our league. And he's one of them. But, you know, like, again, you know, in Montreal, there were, many players who kind of described him as the worst teammate they had ever been around, ever,
really?
In any at any level.
Hey, you got to be known for something, Steve.
That's right.
The best at something.
I'm guessing he's still that, right? But he can catch the ball. So him playing defense, I have no idea what's cooking there. Whether that's purely, is that a punishment detail or is that just a desperation thing or what? I don't know. Be interesting to watch. But, again, I think he's the kind of guy you live with and then till you can't live with him anymore. And if I'm Saskatchewan, I'm sure you're going to live with him this year in the playoffs, see what you can do, take your shot. But I would think it's less than an even money proposition that he's back in Saskatchewan in next year.
What do you make of the notion that perhaps this was a coach that started this fight at practice?
Yeah, that's a, and then kind of let it, yeah, like a staged fight.
UFC.
Do it.
It would be a new one on me, but I guess if it was going to happen under anyone's watch in the Canadian Football League, it would probably happen under Chris Jones' watch.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, just that kind of sounds like the kind of stunt that he would that he would go for. Don't you agree with that?
Like 100%.
It's kind of hard to imagine Wally Buono having staged fights.
That's right.
I don't think Huff would stand for it.
Tom Higgins.
Tom Higgins. Yeah, no, just unlikely to me.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Look, maybe there's genius in all of this, and when they are hoisting the cup in the end, we'll all say, yes, he was right, and all coaches should do this. They should pit their players against each other in sand pits or something. But anyway.
That is a potential outcome, yes.
That is one of many potential
That's
outcomes.
Right.
Numerous.
Great weekend for you, my man. Good to talk to you. We'll catch up Tuesday.
All right. See you, boys.